Frankie, E.E., Haskell, brother and sister, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, November 10, 1902. Dear brother Frankie and brother and sister Haskell, I almost wish I were where I could talk with you in regard to the work in New York City. I received such a good letter from Sister Haskell, telling about the removal of the alienation between Brother Haskell and Brother Frankie. Oh, how thankful I was! I know how pleased the enemy is when he can keep the hearts of those in the service of God filled with distrust and suspicion. And more than this, unity existing among the followers of God is an evidence that the Father sent His Son to save sinners. It is a witness to His power. For nothing short of the miraculous power of God can bring human beings, with their different temperaments, together in harmonious action, their one aim being to speak the truth in love. God's warnings and counsels are plain and decided. As we read the Scriptures and see the power for good that there is in unity, and the power for evil that there is in disunion, how can we fail to receive the Word of God into our hearts? Suspicion and distrust are as evil leaven. Unity bears witness to the power of the truth. Christ says plainly that it is by the unity and cooperation of His followers that the world is to know that God has sent His Son into the world. In the prayer that He offered for His disciples just before His crucifixion, He said, "That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me I have given them, that they may be one, even as We are one, I in them, and Thou in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent Me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved Me." John 17, verse 21-23. We are to be guided and controlled by the same Spirit, but in order for this to be, it is not necessary that we all have the same gifts. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all, to bring these different operations into perfect harmony. God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4-6, 18. He has placed every man at his post of duty, assigning to him a given work. If you have any question as to your post of duty, pray to God for guidance, and your work will be assigned. God has told us expressly that He has placed every man at his post. To one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophesy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit. Verses 8-11. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. When He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 7, 8, 11-13. Here the members of the Church of God are shown acting their different parts, all under the supervision of the great Master Worker, who knows just what each one in His service should do to meet the necessities that arise. When the hearts of God's people are melted and subdued by the Holy Spirit, ministers and lay members will bear a testimony that is in perfect accord. And the Lord will look down on them with pleasure, rejoicing in their oneness. God has given me a word to speak to you in New York. Strive earnestly for unity. Pray for it. Work for it. It will bring spiritual health, elevation of thought, nobility, heavenly mindedness. You will overcome selfishness and evil surmising, and will be more than conquerors through Him that loved you and gave Himself for you. Crucify self. Esteem others better than yourselves. Thus you will be brought into oneness with Christ. Before the heavenly universe and before the church and the world, you will bear unmistakable evidence that you are God's sons and daughters. God will be glorified in the example that you set. Christ is our hope. In Him our lives are to center. Here lies the source of power, the secret of success, in our service for God. From first to last, from the foundation to the top stone, the Church of God is to be built up on Christ and in Christ. He is the ladder by which we climb to heaven. He strengthens us to press upward, till at last we step off the highest round into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Live upon the plan of addition outlined in the first chapter of 2 Peter. Add to your character the graces of the Spirit. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 8. And so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 11. These words show us how we may obtain an eternal life insurance policy. Do you not want this? The world needs to see worked out before it the miracle that binds the hearts of God's people together in Christian love. It needs to see the Lord's people sitting together in heavenly places in Christ. Will you not give in your lives an evidence of what the truth of God can do for those who love and serve Him? God knows what you can be. He knows what divine grace can do for you if you will become partakers of the divine nature. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Verse 12. All of God's servants have a work to do in His vineyard. In the Church of God, no one is to set himself up in kingly power and authority. All ye are brethren. Matthew 23, verse 8. Be very courteous in speech, very kindly in action. Respond to the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28-30. The workers in all lines of God's work are to complain and criticize less, and pray far more for wisdom from on high, that as workers together with God, they may show forth His love far more plainly than they have yet done. For your present good, and that you may inherit eternal life, lift the standard higher and still higher, that all may see that you have received the endowment of the Holy Spirit. In your study of the Word of God, penetrate deeper and still deeper beneath the surface. Lay hold by faith on divine power and sound the depth of inspiration. Bring into your ministry the power of God, remembering that the Lord is behind you. Let His love shine through all you do and say. Every branch of the work of God is open before Him who reads the heart as an open book. He sees every wound that His children receive. He will restore us if we will make Him our trust. Let the truth, the precious, simple truth of the Word of God, shine out in its full brightness. Humble self before God. Christ will be your efficiency. He has appointed you as rulers over His household, to give them meat in due season. The household belongs to God. He alone can place His servants where He would have them. He does according to His sovereign will. Every minister is under the most sacred obligation to give the flock of God meat in due season. And remember that all we do is to be done for the edifying of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verse 12. Christ's laborers are very near His heart of love. He desires to perfect His household through the perfection of His ministers. We need to study Revelation in connection with Daniel, Both of these books are to be carefully and prayerfully studied. And as we study them, we are to pray that their importance may be impressed on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. We need to live in close connection with Christ, the only begotten of the Father, who on Calvary's cross offered himself as a sacrifice for the race. He was the foundation of the Jewish economy. The sacrifices and offerings of this system pointed to the sacrifice that he was to make in behalf of the fallen race. Since the majesty of heaven made such a sacrifice, shall those appointed to be laborers together with him draw back from self-denial? Shall they invest in one place a large share of means, leaving other places without memorials for God? Great mistakes have been made by making a large outlay in a few places. The work in our cities is not to be accomplished by a large outlay of means or by great display. The Lord's messengers, in their effort to reach the people, are not to follow the ways of the world. In the meetings that are held, they are not to depend on worldly singers and theatrical display to awaken an interest. How can those who have no interest in the Word of God, who have never read this Word with a sincere desire to understand its truths, be expected to sing with the Spirit and the understanding? How can their hearts be in harmony with the words of sacred song? How can the heavenly choir join in music that is only a form? The evil of formal worship cannot be too strongly depicted. But no words can properly set forth the deep blessedness of genuine worship. When human beings sing with the spirit and the understanding, heavenly musicians take up the strain and unite in the song of thanksgiving. He who has bestowed on us all the gifts that enable us to be workers together with God expects his servants to cultivate their voices so that they can speak and sing in a way that all can understand. It is not loud singing that is needed, but clear intonation, correct pronunciation, and distinct utterance. Let all take time to cultivate the voice so that God's praise can be sung in clear, soft tones, not with harshness and shrillness that offends the ear. In the meetings held, let a number be chosen to take part in the song service, and let the singing be accompanied by musical instruments, skillfully handled. This part of the service is to be prayerfully conducted, for it is the praise of God in song. The singing is not always to be done by a few. As often as possible, let the entire congregation join. The ability to sing is the gift of God. Let it be used to His glory. There are those who suppose that loud voices, much noise, is devotional singing, but they are mistaken. What is needed is melody and harmony. We are not to oppose the use of instrumental music in our work. I have no time to write more now, but there is much more that I would like to write. In much love,